Welcome to Pop Your Cultural Cherry. My name is Lawin, and I am your host. In this podcast, I'll be talking about my unique perspective on life and culture here in Europe, the good, the bad, the things that you would need to adjust to if you have plans of moving to Europe or you're already living here. Before I start the episode, one misconception that I wanted to clear up is the terms we associate with the Netherlands. We hear the word Netherlands, we hear the word Holland, and we hear the word Dutch. How are these three words different, and what do they actually mean? So obviously, Netherlands or the Netherlands is the country. Dutch refers to either the people or the language. And Holland, in reality, just refers to two provinces in the Netherlands, which is North Holland and South Holland. In the past, people would call the Netherlands Holland because its most prominent cities are found in either North Holland or South Holland. And they are also coastal provinces. Therefore, people who would travel to Dutch colonies in the past or travel for trade would either leave from one of these two provinces. And this misconception is kind of similar to how people from outside the United Kingdom would confuse the United Kingdom, England, and Britain. Today, I wanted to talk about biggest culture shocks that I've experienced when I first moved to the Netherlands. My first stop was Maastricht, a city in the south of the Netherlands. So obviously the Netherlands is famous for a lot of things, but I'd say a lot of people have this notion about the Netherlands only because of Amsterdam. So obviously you have weed, you have prostitution, you have small streets and canals, a city sprawling with tourists. It's fun, it's young, it's trendy. I mean, it is a very, very cool city. I'd say one of those cities that you'd have to at least visit once because it's very, very special. Although Amsterdam is the poster child of the Netherlands, I'd say it's a bit unfair to base the Netherlands image just on one city. It's like going to Manila and saying, oh, I've seen all of the Philippines, or going to New York and say that, oh, all of the US, because I've been to New York, all of the US is like New York. So that's obviously also not true for the Netherlands. So today I wanted to talk about things that shocked me the most and not focus on things that you would typically see in Amsterdam, because that's completely different. So I think one thing that all immigrants in the Netherlands would first need to do is actually get a place. Whenever you would have to, for example, open a bank account or get your government requirements, you'd always need to have a postal address, a contract to the landlord that you actually live in a specific place. And that's important because actually a lot of verification letters, a lot of important mails actually come via post, so they won't send it to you via email, but everything needs to kind of be verified that you actually live in this place in the beginning, and then maybe later on you can switch that mode of sending you snail mails to actual emails. Finding a place is not super easy. That would also depend on which city you live in. If you're looking for a place in Amsterdam or Rotterdam or these big cities or other student cities, then finding a place isn't that easy. So normally you'd have to do several viewings. You'd probably need to live in a temporary place in the beginning or live with a friend until you find the place. So my experience was actually pretty tough. When I moved to Maastricht, I didn't really know anybody there. And for my first month, I stayed in like this apartel. After that, a kind Indonesian classmate of mine allowed me to stay on her floor together with 2 to 3 other Indonesian guys who were also looking for places, or I could see them also as competition actually. It was fine. I think Indonesian culture is a bit similar to Filipino culture, so it was easy for me to socialize with them. But yeah, I was lucky because that friend of mine kind of offered her floor and I had a sleeping bag, and for a few weeks I was okay. But the problem is I could not use that temporary address of mine to do any of my government paperwork or open bank accounts. Maastricht specifically has an issue with housing. And I know people, after months of living in Maastricht, they still haven't found a place. Maybe they're still living with their friends and can't get anything done because they don't have this address. And I hear the real estate situation in other cities like Amsterdam is also very, very bad. So there's some areas that are worse than others. But in general, some of these big cities and student cities have issues with housing. But once you find a place, then you can start opening your bank account. You can get your BSN number, and that I think would allow you to later on get your kind of residence permit. Opening a bank account is something that's also very, very important. So most transactions in the Netherlands are done via like debit card. And obviously for that reason, you'd need to open a bank account. And there might even be some shops that won't accept cash. That's a bit frustrating when in the beginning you only have cash and you don't have your debit card yet. So you'd need to kind of hang out with your friends and kind of ask them to use their debit cards first and then pay them back later. Yeah, that's not so easy. But once you have that bank account of yours, then everything will happen very smoothly. So you can get a postpaid mobile phone subscription. Then you can buy from those shops, obviously, that only accept debit card payments. And I think one thing that's important when you get your debit card is actually get a train subscription. The second thing I found very strange was, so food in the Netherlands is quite simple and very straightforward because I'm from Asia and we use a lot of spices or sauces or whatever. In the Netherlands, so you have normally meat, potatoes, some veggies, but there are also like some really, really good like snack foods like bitterballen or puffertjes, stroopwafel, and some of them you might have already heard of and are really good. But let's talk about some strange food from the Netherlands. So those are fine. Like I'd eat any of those food that I just mentioned anytime. They might not be my favorite, but they're pretty good on their own right. But one thing that's really Dutch is raw herring. You see a lot of these stands in the central market area of any city. During the weekend, you see these stalls. They just sell raw herring. I really don't like it. Although I'm from the Philippines and we have a lot of exotic food. Like for me, raw herring is just disgusting. And one other thing that I noticed that is very Dutch. Obviously, this is something that you'd find everywhere around the world, but a lot of people actually don't like it, and it's called licorice. In a pack of gummy bears, it's the dark purple one that nobody wants to eat, or probably in a group of 10, maybe only one person would eat. But actually in the Netherlands, a lot of people like this, and you have specific licorice packs that's all licorice, and I don't really like it. Another thing that the Netherlands is famous for is bicycles. So I looked it up, and there's apparently 22 million bicycles in the Netherlands. But the Netherlands only has like 17 million people. So obviously more bicycles than people. And in 2019 alone, there were around 500,000 bicycle thefts. So that's really a lot of bicycle theft. So when you get to the Netherlands, in the beginning, try not to invest in a brand new bicycle or an expensive bicycle. Try to get bicycles secondhand or very cheap ones. There are a lot of Facebook groups that sell second, 10th hand bicycles. I don't know how many people have owned it, but they're pretty cheap. And if they get stolen, it's like, yeah, whatever. But make sure you don't spend so much on a bicycle just because theft is really rampant. That's regardless where you live. Specifically, if you don't have a private parking area. So some homes like have maybe some private garden where you can park your bicycles or a cellar. But if you would then need to go to the grocery or to university or whatever, then you'd still need to park your bicycle outside. I mean, there's always a risk there. Personally, I've never had my bicycle stolen, but from all the people I know in the Netherlands, probably close to half of them have had their bicycle stolen at one point of their time in the Netherlands. Be smart about investing in a bicycle and be smart about where you park your bicycle and what kind of lock you use. So those are some things that you'd need to take into account. One thing that I also wanted to discuss was actually rice and rice cookers. You need to know about the Netherlands is there's a lot of Indonesian influence. That's because Indonesia used to be a colony of the Netherlands for, I don't know, a couple hundred years maybe. You'd actually see a lot of Indonesian dishes that have been adopted to the Dutch market. You have a lot of these Indonesian Dutch fusion restaurants, and you have a lot of terms that you'd normally find in Indonesia for food, such as bami, ayam, nasi, lumpia. And nasi, obviously, this means rice in Bahasa. And it's funny because in the Netherlands, so it's normal to have like rice as a meal, and it's normal to find rice being sold in the supermarket, I guess like anywhere else these days in the world. But it's not so common to see people using rice cookers at home. So rice is popular, but rice cookers are not. So I find it a bit odd. And I also had to adjust a lot to eating with a knife and a fork, especially eating rice with a knife and a fork. So if there's one thing that you should know about the Philippines, and this is the same in Indonesia and Malaysia, is that people would normally eat anything with fork and a spoon. So even meat, we would eat with a fork and a spoon. Normally in the Netherlands, you'd only use a spoon for soup, and everything else was like with your knife and fork. But I guess this is not something specific to the Netherlands, but something you'd find everywhere else. But yeah, I needed to get used to it. And I just find it so strange eating rice with a fork. I don't know. So that's something that I find still a bit strange. But yeah, the rice cooker thing, I notice is something that is not obviously only here in the Netherlands, but probably something that's widespread in Europe. So people do not use rice cookers and they just cook it in a regular pot. One thing I needed to adjust to a lot when I moved to the Netherlands is actually the weather, or talking about the weather. So first, the Philippines is a very tropical country. So we only have 2 seasons in a year. So it's either wet or dry. So we don't have winter, spring, autumn. In terms of like degrees Celsius, it's always pretty much summer weather. So it's always like 25 to, I don't know, 32 degrees Celsius. But it would depend whether it's dry season or wet season. So there's a lot of rain, or it's just like super, super hot and humid. But in the Netherlands and a lot of, you know, the Western world, if you're outside the equator, then you have like 4 seasons. And it was actually my first time to see snow. So in 2017, I saw snow for the first time. And that for me was very special. I think for the first 10 minutes, I was really, really happy and like taking lots of pictures and videos. And then like after 30 minutes, you just realize, oh shit, snow is, yeah, it's cool to see, but it's kind of a hassle when you have to cycle somewhere and it gets a bit slippery, it's a bit cold, and then your shoes get wet, and if you don't have the proper shoes, then you're screwed. I actually thought that it would snow more often, and like the snow would remain for longer periods of time. Well, I've lived in Europe for 3 years, so Germany and the Netherlands. I'd probably only see snow a couple of times a year. And I think the longest time that the snow kind of remained there would be like a week. And a lot of people say that it used to be different before. Maybe it's climate change. I don't know. But yeah, so it was my first time to experience like below 10 or negative degrees Celsius weather. And I was not prepared at all. I never really owned like a thick coat, jacket, because I never needed to in the Philippines because it's always warm there. What you have more often there is raincoats because it rains a lot, but not these thick, you know, winter jackets. So one of the first things I did was buy something in Primark, buy a few winter jackets for 20 euros. So it's pretty cheap there and you can get something. So if you're also coming from the equator, I suggest you visit Primark and buy something there if you don't want to invest too much in a jacket or a coat for the winter. So while we're talking about weather, one thing that the Dutch are quite notorious for is talking about weather and asking people like, how's the weather or whatever. But the thing is, the weather, it's usually good in summer, and then in winter, it's usually shit. And then in spring or autumn, it's like 50-50. But the Netherlands is also quite notorious for having cold, gloomy, and rainy winters. It feels a bit miserable, but in general, the weather doesn't get too extreme. So it doesn't rain so much that it's flooding, or maybe because the Netherlands has good water infrastructure. It also doesn't get super, super hot. It gets kind of hot, like 30 to like 40 degrees in summer for like a week. But if you have a fan, then it's not really that big of an issue. But most houses do not have like fans or air conditioning. But in general, people would still like ask, oh, what's the weather like? And you know, I think it's a cool icebreaker. In a day, you could have snow, you could have rain, you could have the sun, you could just have it cloudy. And those 4 incidents could happen in one day. So it's quite varied, but not too extreme. So maybe that's why people ask about the weather. Now, one thing I hear from my friends, so I haven't experienced this because I'm a guy, but when you go out on dates, going Dutch is really a term and it's really a thing. So the Dutch have this reputation of being cheap, but I don't think it's about being cheap. It's more of, that's just what they're used to. And maybe it could also be connected to like equality between men and women. I'm not really sure about that. But there's a term, going Dutch. And going Dutch means that if you go out on a date, you split the bill. The Dutch also have this app called Tikkie. since everything is paid by a debit card. For example, after a night out with your friends, you went to go out for some beer and some food maybe. Maybe one guy pays with his debit card the whole night. And then the next day, he uses this app called Tiki to kind of divide everything equally between the people who went out. And then you just receive payment requests on your mobile phone, and then you could pay that payment request with your bank app. So everything's happening digitally. The sad thing is it also happens on dates. So if a guy takes a girl out, and I've heard this from not just one friend, but maybe 2 to 3 girlfriends who went out on dates with Dutch guys, yes, via Tinder or whatever. And the thing is, the guy paid for everything the night they went out, but they were shocked to find out in the morning they have like a Tiki request to pay for their share of the food. So I think in a lot of cultures, that would be a deal breaker. Like in the Philippines or I guess in Asia, like that's really weird. And probably you won't be having a second date with a girl if you do that. Yeah, there's also this culture here in the Netherlands of 3 kisses when you meet somebody. So you might meet the person for the first time or might be an old friend, but it's normally 3 kisses on the cheek. In the Philippines, it's 1 kiss. In some cultures, there's no kiss at all. I think in some cultures it's 2, but the Netherlands have 3. So I find that actually pretty cool. I don't mind that one. One thing that I find also quite interesting when going out in the Netherlands is that you don't really order tap water. So normally, like in the Philippines or in the US or in other countries, tap water is free. But in the Netherlands, you're not supposed to order tap water. Of course, it's available and it's safe to drink. But when you go out, you're expected to order a drink. Ordering tap water, I've never actually tried, but I heard some restaurants would actually charge you for that. The last culture shock is the Dutch people being direct. And I think that's actually not a bad thing, but a good thing. Obviously, it has pros and cons, but I'd say more pros than cons. In the Philippines, a lot of Asian cultures, you always beat around the bush. You're never too direct with other people because it could come across as being too rude. And if you meet Dutch people for the first time, you might get shocked at how direct they are. And they don't really care what you think about them being direct. It's just how they are. They tell you what they think in the most efficient way possible. And they don't pretend. For example, if you give a gift to a person and that person doesn't really like it or doesn't need it, he'll be grateful for the gift, but he'll tell you what he thinks about that gift. Completely normal. So one tip is that, you know, if you give gifts to your Dutch friends, make sure you put a lot of effort in finding them a good gift that they will really treasure. In general, I think being straightforward makes everything transparent and people are more truthful. I like this. You just need to get used to it. How we'd say it in the Philippines, if maybe you develop thick skin. If you do something, you know, outside of the norm, maybe it's like allowed, maybe it's not allowed, but it affects other people, then other people would come forward and kind of tell you off about how you're supposed to do things. And that's completely normal. Maybe like parking your bicycle in the wrong area and a person would walk up to you and say, and that person doesn't even like work in that area, but, and she'll tell you like, hey, don't park your bicycle there. Or maybe you're talking a bit too loud. You know, people will just come up to you and like, hey, you're too noisy or what. They don't really care. But that's fine. Like, that's really, really fair. And I'd always respect people who have that confidence or that courage in them to do that. But despite all of these directness from Dutch people, there obviously still are taboo topics. I think one example of a taboo topic in the Netherlands is talking about your salary, but I'm not sure if there are more. A lot can be said about culture shocks in the Netherlands, but in general, the Netherlands is a beautiful country, a country with a lot of diversity and a lot of history. And if you guys have a chance to visit or a chance to live there or work there, then I would say go for it without a doubt. It will be a life-changing experience for you. We could talk a lot about culture shocks that you'll have there, but I think the culture shocks that I've mentioned are kind of mild, and those are some things that you could easily live with, and I shouldn't think that these should be a barrier for you to go there. Culture shocks also make, I'd say, the world or living somewhere else more diverse and interesting. So those are the things that I found the strangest in the Netherlands and the things that shook me up the most culturally. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have some experiences that you want to share, follow my Facebook page, Pop Your Cultural Cherry, and you can always write comments there to share with other people who listen to the podcast. Thank you and stay healthy.